I praise the Lord. I love the four seasons. I just wish the one wasn't so long. But anyway, turn with me, if you would, to Luke's Gospel, chapter 7. I'm going to start with verse 36. Luke 7, 36. I'm going to open with prayer, and I'd like to kind of go over these verses one at a time, if I could. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this time. Lord, we thank you for our health and our lives that we have now, and may we use them, Lord, to always praise and honor you, to serve you in the way that you call us to do. Father, that we would be those that, Lord, would throw the logs on the fire and keep things going, make things burn and get warm and everybody get excited for you. Father, you're so worthy and you're so good. We ask that you would just bless us today, that you would speak through me, and Lord, that you would speak to your people. Lord, that you would open our hearts that we might receive your truth. Holy Spirit, have your way this morning in our lives. And we just thank you for being here, for loving us, directing us, protecting us, that we might always be grateful and thankful for you, Lord. You're the giver of our lives, of our faith, of our salvation, of everything, Lord, that is good. Bless your word this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to kind of talk about two different types of people in the church. There may be more, but I just want to kind of bring it down to two. And we'll look at them here. In verse 36, it says, "Then one of the Pharisees asked him," that is Jesus, "to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat." Now, this is one type of person. This here is a type of person that is, first of all, they're religious. A lot of people today, I think, are religious. They're seeking for God. They want more of the Lord. But it's like they come to a certain point and it's like they're not able to go further. You know, we went, my wife and I went to a Catholic church. I've been raised Catholic, so I knew what was going on. And we sat there, and the priest was given a great message all the way through. I listened. I said, man, this is good. But when it came to salvation, he stopped. And I'm like, why didn't you go all the way? But he came to that spot, and he just stopped. Didn't go any further. And then it was over. And it's like, Lord, what a great opportunity. I felt the Holy Spirit move. I felt the anointing that was there, which I normally never felt. But he just quit. And see, that's where a lot of these people are, this one sect of people that are in the church. I thank God that they come to church, and I used to be one of them. I would go to church. Thank God for people that do that. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's like sometime we have to go all the way. We have to maybe go a little further than we've ever gone before. But see, a lot of people who are religious are, I guess, afraid maybe to go that far. or they're hesitant for whatever reason, or maybe they think that there's nothing else. This is what we do. We learn the scriptures. We hear them. We love the Lord. You know, they love the Lord, but they're kind of hindered in one spot. And that was the Pharisees. I mean, you couldn't find a sect that was really more religious than what they were. Of course, if you didn't do the law right and you said something wrong in the scriptures, they might kill you. But that was because they were so committed to the law. And maybe that's where our problem is people who don't know Jesus and are religious are just committed to the law. They're just committed to knowledge and understanding, but they've not submitted their hearts to him. So let's read the next type of person. This is for what a lot of these first group of people think are very weird. They're very different. And they have a hard time handling them because it's just not the way it should be. See, when we're religious, we see things a whole lot different. So let's read about them. Verse 37 now and 38. It says, "And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house." Now, I want you to remember that. She knew that Jesus was there. Folks, we want people to come to church. We need to let them know that Jesus is in the house. Amen. And they need to know that Jesus is in the house. We're not just having a service, but we're relying on the Lord to touch us, to change us, to mold us, to take us all the way to the Father. Not just being set outside. See, once they know, you know, they used to say, "Build it and they'll come." Well, most of those places are closing now. They're called a mega church. And they're built on an individual rather than on Jesus Christ. Amen. They let their money and different things, their programs and all of this be the ones that direct people and bring people because it's all new and it seems like God and wow, this is great. But Jesus is not in the house for the most part. It's just this superstar who's a great preacher and he can do all the things and people admire him and all of that. Kind of like the Antichrist is going to be when he comes to power in the world. It's exactly how it's going to be. But let's read about this person. So when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee, she didn't come to see the Pharisee. She came to see Jesus. And she brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil. Verse 38. This is where she gets weird. "And stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with her hair, the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil." Do you see a difference in contrast here between the two people? One is trying to get there by good works, keeping the law, doing the right thing, thinking what they're doing is all that you need to do and all that's required. And yet this woman, the kind that goes to extremes, we think, and then we criticize. But here she started out just standing behind Jesus. And as she stood the anointing and the presence of the Lord hit her. Now, this is a woman, a sinner of the city. And the Holy Spirit was ministering in her heart. And she began to cry then. And as she cried, I believe she went down on her knees at his feet and then began, as the tears just flowed and fell on his feet, that she began to wash his feet with her tears. Because back then they just wore sandals and they were in the dust most of the time. So his feet, I'm sure, were dirty. And so she wiped them with her tears, washed his feet, and then wiped the feet with her hair. With her hair. And then anointed them with the oil that she had brought. Very expensive oil. Very expensive. But see, she was weird, people think. And so we watch in church, you know, we watch that people don't get weird. You know, it's like, did you see what so-and-so did? I mean, even in the worship, they raised their hands. Wow. Is that allowed? I've been in churches where that wasn't allowed, folks. You don't show emotions because then you're weird. But see, we've got to learn that there is a difference. See, this woman was sold out. She came with everything. She knew she was nothing. And yet Jesus received her and allowed her. Because in the next verse, look at this, in verse 39. Now when the Pharisee who invited him saw this, he spoke to himself saying, this man, talking of Jesus, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is who is even touching him, for she's a sinner. Folks, those that are religious, following the law, and just going to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and never change. They're just the same as they've always been. Very little, if any, change in their lives, just carrying on, doing, and then feeling very free to judge and criticize and comment. But see, we need to be more like that lady that came in, surrendered her heart and her life to the Savior, to Jesus. So there's two kinds of people, really. See, there's the religious and there's the saved. There's a difference. And so we need to realize and really maybe finally come to the place where we can really trust the Lord and say, Lord, I want to go all the way. I remember that's what I had to do. I know when I wasn't even saved yet. I had gone to church. I had been like this Pharisee. I even went to parochial school. I've been beat up by nuns. They are the junkyard dog of the church. And they will hurt you. And I lived through it. But I was critical about a lot of things and a lot of people. But then one night at work, this guy yelled out at me above several other people and said, "Hey, Jim." He said, "If you died tonight, where would you go, heaven or hell?" And I thought, what a weird question. We're not in church. We're not in a prayer meeting. Just what is your problem? I thought. And I was very critical of him. And I said, yelled back at him because I was embarrassed. And it made me kind of angry. And I said, "Well, where are you going? To hell?" And then I walked off. I didn't go but maybe 30 feet because I was going into the next place to inspect some work. And I was thinking, how dare him say that? Who does he think he is? These religious, ignorant people. And then the Lord spoke to me. And he always called me by name. And he says, "Jim, if you died tonight, you're going straight to hell." Now, what would you think if the Lord would tell you something like that? What would you feel? I want to tell you, the hair stood up on the back of my neck. It scared me. Because I thought I was okay. I hadn't killed anybody lately. I haven't robbed any banks. Haven't done all the bad things that a lot of people do. I considered myself pretty good, just like the Pharisees. But then the Lord says, "Jim, not good enough. You didn't go all the way." He says, "If you died tonight, you're going to hell. Anybody want to spend an eternity in hell?" And I want to tell you, that scared me. And as this woman did, I didn't cry on the feet of Jesus and wipe it with my hair and pour all the anointing oil on it like she did. But I want to tell you, I had an experience with Jesus. And so the thing is, what camp are we in? You know what I mean? What camp? If you're in like the Pharisees' camp, let me tell you, good people, you're at least searching for the Lord. It's not like all of those who are outside and never come to church or even think about God whatsoever. You're at least way above that. But see, the enemies showed you and taught you, and religion has been teaching that you're good. You'll be okay. I've had people before say, "Jim, don't worry about it. You're okay. You're okay. You'll go to heaven. You'll be all right." Really? Folks, we go to funerals and different things. And do you know at a funeral, everybody, when you die, everybody goes to heaven? Right? That's what you hear. Oh, they were good people. They're in a better place now. Folks, when are we going to wake up to reality and realize that, no, we've got to see things different. We've got to be different in our lives. We need an experience with the Lord. And this is what I believe is killing the churches today. Did you know, let me give you a few statistics here if I could. Did you know that this year alone, at least 15,000 churches will close their doors for good? Yeah, 15,000. That's like 41 churches a day and 288 every week on an average. Churches that are trying to do the right thing, but they've not gone all the way with the Lord. You see, because Jesus is not in house. And these churches are closing because of where people are and what is being preached and how they're believing. Number one, Jesus isn't in the house. And so people are not coming in. They classify the church really in their lives as irrelevant. What are you going to get? So we go and sing a few hymns. We hear a preacher stand up and beat the pulpit or whatever he wants to do. We do that for a while. We give our money and then we go home to sing. Wonderful. Now, what kind of God is that they're serving? Y'all understand what I'm saying? It's so important. And you know, a lot of people, when they hear this kind of preaching, they say, man, that's terrible. You just beat on me and they're putting me down and they can say nothing good about anybody and they get offended. And so I'm not trying to offend anybody. I won't be preaching for a long time, if ever again here. Nathan will be preaching the next three Sundays. So don't stop coming because of me, because I won't be here, all right? So I'm not trying to run you off. Please come back. These guys are good. They know what they're talking about. All I know is I've been saved. I've gone all the way. I can be that weirdo at times when I can believe God's word and I can pray for you and see a healing. When I don't know how to pray, I can pray in tongues as he gives me utterance to pray. You see, because my experience let me know how important it is to know how to worship and to pray and to trust him for his Holy Spirit to lead and guide. And the religious will think that's weird and crazy and stupid. But those that have been saved and anointed will say, amen, brother, preach it. See, folks, if we don't get in to where this woman was, the church will die. Church will die because Jesus is not in it. Oh, we think, well, if we get a high-powered preacher or we get this or if we get that, that'll bring them in. It'll all change. Did you know that unless the Lord builds a house, we all labor in vain? Because it's our idea. Did you know there's three mega churches that are closing this year? One of them has 100,000 members. Had 100,000 members. Until the controversy broke out about them. That's Robert Morris. 100,000 followers. Great preacher. I've gone to conferences with him before. They found fault in him and they couldn't forgive. And of course, in fact, he's in jail now, I believe. And it's happened with so many others as well. Big churches. Churches all built on them. So don't tell me we know how to build a church. We can't do it without God. And we need to realize, I don't care how good we are, how hard we try, how much we know. See, a lot of times we have a lot of knowledge, but very little understanding. And we might have some understanding, but we don't have any anointing to be able to share it. So what I'm saying is, Jesus is so important. And we can't do it without him. Don't be one that goes in and hears a word and then just criticize because you don't understand. But maybe instead say, Lord, teach me. I want to know. I've never heard it before. Lead me. Holy Spirit, if you're real, I want you. Folks, before I received the Holy Spirit, I asked the Lord this. I said, Lord, if I receive your Holy Spirit, do I have to be like one of them? Because there was a church that I visited once in a while that would pretty well swing the chandeliers and walk on the back of chairs. They get crazy in their worship. I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm saying that's not me. Lord, I get excited. But I don't need to swing on a chandelier. I might get hurt. You know, some of them get up and dance and jig. I wished I could do that, but I would hurt somebody if I did that. So I said, Lord, do I have to do that? Do I have to be like them? You know what the Lord told me? He said, no, you don't. I said, thank you, Lord. I want your Holy Spirit. Folks, you control yourself and what you do and how you worship. You let the Lord lead. So let's continue on. Verse 40, and Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, the Pharisee, says, I have something to say to you. So he said, teacher, say it. Verse 41, there was a certain creditor, question that Jesus is asking now. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Think about it. Which one do you think would love him more? Well, here's what Simon said. So Simon answered and said, I suppose. So he had an attitude too. Folks, I had a lot of attitude. And he says, well, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. I suppose. And Jesus said to him, you've rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Verse 47. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves a little. See, a lot of times we think we really serve God and do God good things. But can you see all of the things that we can miss? There's so many things that we miss. And that's why we've got to be led by the Holy Spirit. And this poor sinful woman, who felt as if she was nothing, by faith, came into that presence of a Pharisee who she knew would automatically condemn her. But she says, I'm going to Jesus. I don't care what people think. I don't care what they think. See, sometimes that's where we have to go. We don't care what other people think. What does God's word say? What pleases God? You know, Lord told me once, because I was always wanting to please people, wanted to do a good sermon, have people all happy and pat you on the back and all of that. And that didn't happen too often, as you can see. And the Lord told me this. He says, Jim, he says, the people will love you one day, and he says, they'll hate you the next. And I'm like, wow. So my alternative then, what the Lord was saying to me, I am to please him and not try to please man. See, I can't help you unless I preach the truth. I can share with you all kinds of lies. In fact, I had a friend do this, a friend in Missouri. He was a pastor of his church, a young guy, and he had something on Facebook. And what he would do is minister to those that were on drugs and had different issues. And he would put scripture in there, and then under the scripture, he would explain what it really meant and what it was saying and what it would do. And so I went in there and I would read week after week, I would read the scripture he gave, and then I would read the caption underneath of what it really meant or what he said it meant. And I'm like, that isn't even close to what the scripture says. He changed it completely to make it sound different and much better and whatever on that. And so I got a hold of him and I said, what are you doing? I said, you're actually lying about scriptures. I said, how can that help anybody? Doesn't the word say not to change the word? Not to add or even take away from it? And I said, I understand what you're trying to do. You're trying to help these people, but the word is what changes people. It's not our opinions or what we think. And you know, he hasn't spoken to me since. And it's like, I'm just trying to help you. I'm just trying to say this is a no-no. See, that's what I have to do. And that's what every minister, don't get a minister in here that's a people pleaser. Get one in here that's a God pleaser, who actually loves and loves God's work, who has gone all the way, who has a Holy Spirit that will minister through them to you. You need that. So that's what we need to learn to do. And then let's see. Verse 50. Let's just go to verse 50. Then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Now, folks, that's what I want to hear the Lord say. Your faith has saved you. He's not going to say, well, your works have saved you. Your good intentions saved you. No, your faith has saved you. I'm not saying we have to do everything right because we won't make it. Man, I mess up so much. That's why I have to have the Holy Spirit. See, my dependence is on him to lead, teach, and then to speak through me, to anoint then his word, because I really, other than the word, I have really not much to say. But think about it. There's two types of people. There's the religious who like to criticize and see things their way. But then there's those who love the Lord and have surrendered to him totally, saying, God, it's all yours. I can do nothing on my own. I give you my life. Take it and use it to your glory, I pray. And then you'll be able to touch other people's lives. You know how you can really tell if an individual is saved or if you're saved? That was the biggest problem I had after I was saved. I'm like, why would God save me? I still look at that sometimes. God, why would you save something like me? Man, you got so much talent. You got Nathan and Jonathan, all the talent and everything. And yet you saved me? Do you know if I was God, I would have never saved me. I'm just being honest. So don't ever think that God can't use you or he won't save you. Or you've done maybe something so bad that he'll never forgive you for. That's a lie. That's why he said, this woman who had many sins, your faith has saved you. But see, folks, all we have to do is do it. All we have to do, just do it. Don't just think about it. Just do it. That's why a lot of times I offer people, man, if you want something from the Lord, come up. Get some prayer. Do it now while you feel it, because I tell you what, usually when you get home or leave the church, that desire's gone with it. Because the enemy can work on you out there. In here's the anointing. See, Jesus is in here. Jesus is in here. The lady came in to Jesus. She didn't just try to do it out on the streets. Oh, no, I can't go in the Pharisee's house. They'll condemn me. She said, I don't care what the Pharisees think. I'm going to Jesus. Jesus is my hope. So it's kind of like coming down to us. What, you know what? What do you want to do? Do you want to just stay where you are and hope you're right? Or would you like to just make that decision and say, God, I'm coming to you. I don't understand really how to do this, but Lord, I'll trust you. That's the same way with me. My wife knocked me out in the aisle, basically saying, go up and get saved. I can't stand you the way you are. And then the Lord said to me before I went up, and I'm standing in the aisle, embarrassed because my wife beat on me. She's a husband beater. And the Lord told me, so what are you going to do? You're going to get back in the pew and pretend this never happened, or are you going to go forward and see if this works? And I said, I'm already out here. I'm not going to fight with my wife to try to get back in the pew. I'm just going to go ahead and go forward. And I took the first step, and God was all over me. When my sins were forgiven, folks, I felt so light, seriously, light, because all of that baggage was gone on the first step. And I continued to go forward, and I'm like, somebody hold me down. I know I'm going up. I know I'm going up. And I didn't care what the people thought. I'm standing in front crying. I never felt this before. I've never felt anything like that. I felt genuine love. And that love I used to love a neighbor who I wanted to kill, literally. And I forgave everybody. I was just a ball of love. I loved everybody. I'm like a happy drunk. I just loved everybody. What's your choice? What do you want to do, folks? See, it's all up to you. You and God. You and God. Don't plan on later, because later never comes, usually. My wife said, you go forward and I'll go up with you. I'll join the church and you can get saved. And here I want it desperately because I know I'm going to hell. And I said, next week. That's when she knocked me in the aisle. Maybe some of you need to be knocked in the aisle. Maybe when you come in here next time, stand, put yourself close to the aisle. Put your wife inside. Let her help you make the right choice. Amen. Folks, I love you. I thank you. May God just touch your hearts, change your lives, and make your destination for heaven forevermore. God, Father, we just thank you for who you are, what you do in our lives, how you make yourself available. And Father, that you make it so easy for us that sometimes we think it's hard. And all we have to do is just simply receive you and trust you in it. Father, help us all to go all the way with you. Change our lives forevermore, and it can only be done through your salvation in Jesus Christ. We praise your name forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Let me...